beautiful gifts to pick from, I had no idea which one to take. The one on the left or the one on the right?
Hold your horses, Robbie Blind. You won't be stealing any Christmas joy tonight.
Santa Claus, what are you doing here?
Why, I'm protecting the holiday season, of course. Now it's time for you to take consequences for your actions.
Halt, you holiday heist mastermind. Your thieving days end here.
Santa Claus, it's good to see you again, my friend.
Sergeant, be safe. You're one of our national heroes. It's always good to see you, too.
What's happening? Who are you?
Fear not, my good family. I'm Sergeant Be Safe, your protector and guardian of joy. I just saved your Christmas. I caught Robbie Blind red-handed.
Hey, it's Sergeant Be Safe and Santa. It's Santa Claus.
Thank you for saving our Christmas, Sergeant Be Safe.
Oh, you kids weren't supposed to see me. But remember, the magic of Christmas lies in the togetherness we share with our friends and family. Let this be a reminder to cherish each other during this joyous occasion in this wonderful season. Now, I must be off. Back to the North Pole I go. But I will forever remember this family and cherish these moments.
Robbie Blind is off to jail again.
And Sergeant Be Safe, save Christmas. Oh,
Remember, folks, lock your doors at night, and that's your tip of the day to have a safe holiday.
Welcome to Black and Blue, the podcast that's just for you. We bring solutions to everyday problems. We are here to humanize the badge. By interviewing first responders and discussing their trainings, experiences, and publications. Black and Blue airs weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another episode of Black and Blue. Black and Blue is the podcast where we go live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time weekly. And when we go live with a special guest. And I have a special guest for you today. The special guest, normally when we go live, is either a first responder or in law enforcement themselves, whether they're rookie, whether they're seasoned, or whether they're retiree. And when we go live, we talk about their training, their experiences, or their publications. And we're going to do so today. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am your host. I am Coach Clay. I'm your motivational speaker, your empowerment coach, your author, and your favorite baker's favorite baker. Some of you know me as Coach Clay, Clark Tent, Clay Tillman. And we just, and someone also said Clay, the C-L-E-E is continuing law enforcement edutainment, because we're bringing edutainment here to this platform where we're humanizing the badge. We're streaming on 5 different platforms right now. We're on 1 on LinkedIn. We're on 2 on YouTube. We're on 2 on Facebook as well. So therefore, make sure you guys get those likes up, because I can't see who's in here. And the algorithm survives off likes, and likes are free. And like I said, we're streaming on 5 different platforms. So if you're looking for a shout out, you got to put your name and where you're from in the comment section. And I'll give you that shout out that you're looking for. If you have a question or a comment, you have to put it in the comment section and we'll put it on the screen and we'll address it as such. There's about a 5 to 10 second delay from the time that you post it to the time that I see it. So we'll make sure that we get that comment out there or your question answered as best we can. All right. This platform is sponsored. You see workwithclee.com scrolling below. This platform is sponsored by One Way Publishing. One Way Publishing is a book publishing company where I wrote my 5 books. You see some of them behind me, and other clients have wrote their books through there as well. Their motto is they can take a mere thought and turn it into a book that's bought. They're also, workwithclee.com is a website for that. They're also known not just for that. They're also known for the Sergeant Be Safe. You saw the commercial at the beginning of this platform, the beginning of the show, I'm sorry. And then we're going to have commercial interludes by Sergeant Be Safe as well. But just to give you a little insight, some of the latest books right here, To Be So Tall by Shayla Thompson and Sophia Thompson, a mother-daughter duo, dynamic duo, writing their first children's book, is on their platform as well. And another one, Kay Childs, she 30 years in the making. She finally had her dreams come true. They write her own poetry book, and it's right there on Amazon, sponsored by One Way Publishing. So therefore, check them out and check out One Way Publishing to get your dreams to come true, all right? Good evening, last Friday of the year. Absolutely, yes. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to those that have already passed. Happy New Year to those that I will not see or speak to beforehand. We're running, 2 years now? 2 years on this version of the platform, and 2024 is in store to bring you more. You like that, don't you? I like it too. We're going to have a lot of fun, though. We got a January lineup. It's not already filled. I think there's a couple slots available. So if you're looking to be on a platform, inbox me, message me, let me know, and we'll get that scheduled and we'll get that thing done. Okay. But like I said, without further ado, we're going to jump into the meat and potatoes of why we're here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I got a special guest. He's been in law enforcement for a number of years. He's known as a police marketing expert and police marketing FTO. He's a recruiting strategist, podcast host, blogger, speaker, and helps agencies find qualified candidates. Especially in this climate, we all know that we're all hurting for candidates in our job field. So that without further ado, let me get these banners up here, get them up here correctly, because I want to give him the stage he deserves. Tom Side. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Tom Side. Tom, are you there?
Hey, Clay, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing well as well.
Perfect. Hey, thank you for making yourself available and coming on this platform. We're looking for to pick your brain and have fun while we're having a conversation on many things that you're an expert in. But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, I would love to. Again, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate the invite and being able to hang out with you and your audience and pass on some of the knowledge that I've learned over these past 20 years. But I am Tom Sy. I am a background investigator and a recruiter in my day job, and I also own and operate 4 Cops Training. So my story and how I got into law enforcement is probably pretty similar to ones you've heard in the past. since my dad was a cop. So ever since I was knee high, I wanted to be a police officer too. I wanted to be just like my dad and, you know, go out there and catch bad guys and help people out. That's what I always wanted to do. So of course, as I got older and I watched my dad, and it just, that desire just grew and grew and grew. But of course, my dad, like, you know, anybody else, was always, no, go do something else. You want to do something else. You want to do something else. You don't want to chase bad guys for the rest of your life. So I finally got older in life, and I was like, Dad, I really want to do this. He says, no. So I'm telling you, go do something else. So I did. I had a whole separate career. I was a radio broadcaster. I was a play-by-play announcer for some minor league hockey teams, did some college sports in New Mexico. I had a morning show, I did that for, 5 years, traveling around the country, calling games, and I loved it. It was a passion of mine as well, doing all that. But I got to be 31, and with that, traveling around and announcing games and stuff, my girls were, getting older, and I was missing, first words and first steps and all that kind of stuff. And I got to be 31, and I told my wife, I said, look, I got to do this. I know that, we're trending upward, and I'm every job that I get, we keep moving up the ladder, but I have to do this. I've always wanted to do it. And obviously she was on board and supported me, and ended up moving out to Arizona, and been here ever since. I just love it. It's been everything that, that I thought it would be. So.
Gotcha. I get it. Trust me. I'm a second generation police officer myself. Since I was 4 years old, I know this is what I wanted to do. I had that burning desire as well, so I get it. I know that you. I didn't know that you were a host, a radio announcer for the first couple in your 20s. So the traveling around and watching sport, I bet you that was a life all in itself as well. Before actually getting into law. Sorry.
Yeah, that was something else.
And then you finally answered the call and got into law enforcement. Can you share us a couple of brief experiences that you had while your early stages in law enforcement?
Sure. I knew that since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a police officer. So like I said, I got to be 31. I put in the application, passed the testing, got hired on, and that's where my big plan ended. I had no idea what I wanted to do after that. So, like everybody, you go through the academy and you hit patrol for, however long you do. So I did a couple of years in patrol and decided I still didn't really know. I thought maybe investigations, but I didn't think that I was ready for that yet. So I became a field training officer, training, people getting out of the academy and how to do things the Glendale way where I work.
Right.
And I got to take on some crime scene officer duties when I was there. So, go around photographing crime scenes, collecting evidence and that stuff on minor crimes, no like CSI Glendale or anything like that. But four and a half years in, I decided I wanted to be a detective. I felt like I was ready. And I took the test and made the list and got the call. And I'll never forget it. I got the phone call from a sergeant that I actually worked on patrol for at one point. And he says, hey, we got openings in fraud and forgery. And that's where my dad worked for a number of years. So I always thought I would get into that. And I was like, oh. Uh-huh. So he says, we got fraud and forgery or sex crimes. That was available. So I was like, oh, geez. But I had a really good friend of mine he's retired now, but we're still great friends today, Larry Gonzalez. And he was working in sex crimes. And I called him up and I said, hey, here's what they offered me. He's like, dude, you got to come here. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have so much fun. I'll teach you everything that I know. And now I'll backtrack it. Now, please, if you would have told me 20 years ago, Tom, you're going to go into sex crimes. You're going to love it. I would have told you you're nuts. I don't want to talk about that stuff. I don't want to think about that stuff. I don't want to work with it. I don't want to deal with it. But I took the chance to work with my friend, and it was incredible. One of the best things that I've ever done, not just in my career, but in my entire life. Being people in such a real way on such a deep level on one of the most horrific things that could happen to them, short of murder. And just helping people in that just real way and connecting with people. It changed my life. It really did. About 10 years ago, I did that for, about 4 years, four and a half years. And about 10 years ago now, this month, it's 10 years. An opportunity came available to work in backgrounds and recruiting. And that is something that I always, you know, thought I had an interest in. I had a really good experience with my recruiter and background investigator when I was going through the process. And I said, gee, it'd be really cool to help people that way too. So I took a chance. I got the spot and I've been here ever since. It's been fantastic. Just very much like sex crimes in the fact that you get to help people out. So you know, we're talking about dealing with people who were just like you and I, right? Who wanted to be cops forever and like helping them along to achieving that dream. And they're so happy. Just today, I had somebody send me a text message. She sent me a picture of her and another guy that I hired 3 years ago. And it was their now second Christmas working together. They had Santa hats on and stuff. She sent me a picture. She goes, our second Christmas together. And then there's a space. And she goes, thank you so much for this opportunity. Just, you know what I mean? And it's do anything. I just, you were a simple hire, you know, but
it just, those are those priceless moments.
It is. And it just means something to people to get this job. It's life changing. As you know, the benefits and the opportunities to help people changes your life. And it's just fabulous. I love what I do. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's good. That's good. I know there's a market for there's a lot of interested candidates out there, especially in the nature of the world, the climate of the world right now. And I know you're an expert and strategist on how to nitpick and how to find them. And when you find them, do you recruit for mainly your agency, or do you recruit trying to find them and fit them into the right agency that's good for them?
Yeah. So for me, I recruit for my department and just for the Glendale Police Department only. And now what I'm trying to do with the business with the four cops training is to teach other police departments how to do the same thing that I've been doing for 10 years.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. So without giving out the nuts and bolts of it, I know you got a proprietary blend per se. Let's say I come to you as a candidate. I'm fresh out of high school. I'm fresh out of, I just graduated college. I'm just getting out of the military. I'm interested. I want to get into law enforcement, but I'm a little shaky. You know, it's right after 2022. A lot of people have been very hesitant. 2020. People have been very hesitant getting into law enforcement. I come to you. I'm like, I'm kind of interested. I don't know. What advice would you give me? What steps do you think I should take? How can I make myself more marketable if I do decide to make that leap?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. The biggest piece of advice that I could give somebody wanting to get into law enforcement and working for an agency is to do your homework on several agencies, right? In as many processes, and I tell this to applicants all the time, even ones who are in my process, they're like, hey, I was thinking about applying here. Do you think I should? Yeah, absolutely. You should apply in as many processes as you possibly can, because you don't know what it's going to be. So every agency has different steps, so you get to go on ride-alongs and you have interviews with command staff and different officers, and your interactions, you get brought into the station several times throughout the process. You're meeting all kind of people, getting a feel for what the agency is like. So that's the biggest piece of advice is to do your homework on the agency, social media channels, websites, talk to officers who work for the agency. You want to make sure that it's a right fit for you. Every department is different, as you know. You know, police work is police work, no matter where you are. If you're in Pennsylvania or in Arizona, police work is police work. But everybody seems to just do it just a little bit differently. So those are the kind of things that I always encourage people is to ask questions. Never feel like you're bugging somebody. Never feel like you're bothering somebody. Ask questions. And if anybody is upset that you're asking questions, that ain't the place for you.
Absolutely. Good point. Yes. Yeah. Questions are the key to getting it done. And that's how you learn more as well. Teachers always said the stupidest question is the one not asked. In our political climate, how difficult is it for you for are you seeing departments trying to recruit quality candidates as opposed to anyone who's just kind of throwing their hat out there just because?
Yeah, here's what I can tell you about that. So, again, I've been in backgrounds and recruiting for 10 years. So when I came into this field 10 years ago, you had to do nothing. There was nothing that was required. You open up for applications, thousands of people put in, you took the cream of the crop from that, you moved on, and you closed and you opened maybe once or twice a year. Yep. So things have obviously changed over the 10 years.
I remember those days. Yeah.
Yeah. As things, you know, it's so funny. I was thinking about this last week. There was a point in time when we actually had people who passed all of the steps, were qualified candidates, and we got rid of them because they didn't score high enough.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable when you think about that in today's day and age. You know?
I know, right?
So as things have evolved, and this is a question that it's on everybody's mind. Everybody talks about it, and it's a real thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The political climate and the and activism and, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the different, you know, protests and different things and whatever side of the coin that you're on. I think it's important as police officers, and this is what I'll say, if you're in recruiting, is to understand the other side. You have to understand it. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to understand it, because we're never moving forward unless we do that. Right.
Right.
So the political climate has affected recruiting in the way of, we're not getting thousands of applications anymore. That's not happening. So you're not going to open up and get a bunch of applications and without doing anything. Those days are, mm-hmm. are they're over. That's just the right. bottom line. Those days are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to evolve to be able to compete nowadays and to evolve. You have to evolve. And this is where I'm seeing from talking with people at departments all over the country is where we're having problems. It's not necessarily because there's not good applicants. And these are the gripes that you always hear, right? And these are always, yeah. what I'll say, and this is going to be, I'm going to call this a love shove, right? And I do this a lot in my videos and stuff. Everything that I'm telling you is because I care. I want you to do well. I want you to succeed. I want you to win in recruiting, but I'm not going to mm-hmm. sugarcoat it. That ain't going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, these are what I like to call the lies we tell ourselves.
Okay.
As police recruiters, there's not enough qualified candidates. I can't find people who want to do this. Mm-hmm. No one wants to do the job anymore. These mm-hmm. are all lies that we tell ourselves to justify the fact that we are not recruiting like it's 2023 or about to be 2024.
Right.
Things have changed. Most places are still stuck in 2015 or 2016, mm-hmm. where you still could open up and get, you know, a few hundred, 500, 600, 700 applications,
yeah.
thousands of 10 years ago, but still a good amount, and be able to fill your vacancies and hire all the people that you needed by doing that. So the biggest thing that I see isn't, again, it's not the political climate. It's the way that we are not recruiting. We have not evolved as a profession to reach people in today's day and age.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So what would you say some of the challenges are in trying to reach people in today's day and age? Would it be more social media? Would it be more, I don't know, public engagement while working, getting out more and while having officers engage more, doing more community policing? Or what would you suggest in recruiting better for today's market?
Yeah. Here's all of the stuff that all the traditional stuff that we know of recruiting, right? Recruiting, it's at its core is still the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Build relationships with people. That's mm-hmm. recruiting. That's always been recruiting forever right. ever and ever, right? Whether right. it's the police department or somewhere else, that's always been the tenets of recruiting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of the things that we think of to do, let's go on the community and shake hands and kiss babies and be at events and go to the school and have lunch with the kids and do mm-hmm. Operation Santa Claus and, you know, all that stuff. It's great. I'm not saying it's not great, right? All of that stuff is necessary, right? So what has happened to help evolve, and this is something too that I do quite frequently, and it's I'm on a mission to change the way that police departments recruit, okay? I'm on a mission to call out marketing companies and methods that are here to take advantage of your inexperience and offering you cookie cutter recruiting videos and all that kind of stuff. If you think about this, so getting back to the evolution here, what departments are doing is what they're being sold now are these, you know, high-tech recruiting videos and websites and all that kind of stuff. That's the next wave. That's how we're going to solve this. And what's gone on is through the news media, leading back to the last question, the news media with the, there's a hiring crisis. There's a hiring crisis. They can't find anybody to do this. Well, what's happened are that people have said, hey, I'm really good at making videos. I can make them a video that's going to attract all kinds of people. Then they go to the department, they show the video, and you've seen, how many recruiting videos have you seen? They're all the same, right? Here comes the slow motion drone video, the SWAT guy walking through the smoke, and the intense video. They're all the same, right? They look great, but they are doing nothing for you.
They look like movie previews.
Yeah, 100%. So and when I call out other companies and methods, I'm not saying they're unscrupulous. Don't mistake what I'm saying, right? Uh-huh. They're trying to help, but the problem is that a guy who's a videographer doesn't understand police recruiting.
Right.
He doesn't understand what makes people tick and what makes them want to be police officers and how to attract them. So a lot of these methods are, it's just, you know, we're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying to see if any of this stuff works, you know? And this is where I have changed things with my own agency. We don't do any of that stuff, right? So I've been to one job fair in 2 years, one. And
wow.
And it was down in Tucson, and we had to go. I didn't really even want to go, but we had to go, right? We don't have a fancy recruiting video. Our website is just the generic website that the city. Now, would I love to have a recruiting video? Yeah, I would. Would I love to have a nicer website? Yeah, I would. But those are the secondary things. That's not what it's going to attract your applicants. That's what's going to help once you have them attracted, but that is not what's initially going to get people through the door.
Gotcha. I remember job fairs were the thing. And I remember in high school, there was always a college, there was always a military recruiter, and there was always some sort of blue collar table set up right out front in the cafeteria. So that way, whether you're going to or fro, you had to pass by them. You could ask your questions and gain your interest, get your catalogs or whatever you needed to figure out if that's the move that you wanted to make. Not so much anymore. And I know I've got a high school age son where now recruiting is it's like you said, it's either the videos that go directly to their social media, to they get those text messages that goes directly to their phones, or it's just word of mouth mainly for colleges for any kind of job. And I think from my experience, correct me if I'm wrong, you're in recruiting. I think we kind of fell short on the word of mouth as well as what we haven't seen throughout the years.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Social media is the recruiting table of 2023, 2024 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's social media. So to be successful, and I think this was a second part of the question initially, you know, what can we do to be successful? I think that's what you asked. And if that's coming later, just stop me and I'll wait.
But, no, we're good. We're rolling.
So social media, again, is the recruiting table of 2023. It's going to be the recruiting table of 2024. It's going to be the recruiting table of 2025. If you are not there, you are going to lose with recruiting.
Right.
End of story. Okay. You have to use social media in a way, right? You can't just, I call post and ghost, right? I'm just going to make a post and then you're never going to see me or hear from me again, right? That's not helping you. That's not going to get it done, right? And a lot of these, and this is where I'll go back to these companies who are like, oh, we'll take care of your recruiting for you. And they make these nice posts. And again, they look great.
Yeah.
They look great. They're not doing anything for you, because here's the true key to social media and recruiting is, remember what we talked about. Recruiting is about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Recruiting is about relationships now more than ever. Okay. So you have to use social media to meet your applicants where they're at, right? There's three keys to effective recruiting in 2023 and 2024. You have to meet your applicants where they're at, build a relationship with them, and show them why people like them work for you. Those are the three keys. If you can do those three things, you will win with recruiting, just like I have for the past, now 2017 is when we started really getting into this type of stuff. So for the past 5 years, this is what we've done to be successful. And it's there's no quick solution. This is another thing. Everybody's dying. They're hurting for bodies. And I get it. I've been there. I know what it's like to have the chief coming down going, hey, why don't we get more people? I've been there. I've had that conversation, right? So I understand the pain, but you have to realize that there is not a quick solution to this. Times have changed. Things have changed. We have to change right along with it. Recruiting is a long game, and you have to be willing to, if you truly want to be successful, you have to be willing to apply the right resources in the right places. That is paramount. And that's the main thing that I see agencies struggling with. Gotcha. Is having enough people to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I was going to ask, what are some of those resources in the right places would you suggest if you could?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to get into. So, and it's having the right people in place, right? So if you think about this, like if you want to, I don't know, you want to go buy a couch, whatever, right? You go in the Lazy Boy store and the guy, you go in the store and the guy's a jerk, you're out of there. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, a lot of times agencies, and this is no offense to old timers. I'm an old timer. I've been in a job 20 years, right? But a lot of times they just put somebody in there because they're safer in there than to have them getting complaints out on the street, right? So they put them in there, applicants show up and it's grumpy Gus. Well, I don't want to work with jerks, do you?
Yeah. Right? Absolutely not.
So you gotta have the right people in place. You gotta have people who are energetic, who have a passion for people, who know how to talk to people, who aren't shy, who are have a sense of humor. And I say this a lot too, and it makes some people mad, but what are you going to do? I like to say we got to decopify recruiting, right? Here's the facts, ma'am, of recruiting. We got to get rid of that stuff, right? You got to be normal with people. And that's not easy when you're in this job for so long. It is not easy to go back to just having a normal conversation, but that's what the right resources are, is having those in the right places, which is in your recruiting and your background unit, because it's not just recruiting. Because if I'm a recruiter only, I do both, but if I'm a recruiter only and I do my job and I'm building a relationship and I'm friendly and I'm showing you how great this agency is and why it's going to be perfect for you, then you get to the background interview and you're getting grilled and the guy's being a jerk to you. And then you get the polygraph and they're giving you the third degree and beating you up with phone books and peeling your fingernails off and all that kind of stuff. Right. You're not going to keep that applicant. So it's a whole, it's the resources are from start to finish, from time of application to the time they get hired. You have to have the right resources in the right places all along the way.
Interesting. And good point. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to jump right in back into it. Right now, Sergeant B Safe said we got to take time out for his commercial. So stand by. He's got something to say, and we're going to jump right back into it.
Oh, thank goodness you're here. I heard a loud noise and I thought someone was breaking in.
Don't worry, Jeanette. I'll take a look around. I'll make sure everything's secure. Aha, I found your problem. It's your smoke detectors. They need batteries. It's definitely not your burglar alarm.
Oh, silly me. I guess I got a little too alarmed. Thank you, officer.
I'm glad I could help, but you need to make sure you get some batteries immediately and take care of that before it becomes a bigger problem.
Abby, it sounds like you're having a little bit of trouble with your car battery.
Yes, officer, it's dead. I think I need a new one.
Ah, I see the problem. Nothing's wrong with your battery. Just turns out that you're actually out of gas.
Oh no, how did I not realize that?
Thank you for saving me the expense of a new battery, officer.
Well, I'm glad to find out that you're only out of gas and don't need a new battery. Looks like there's a gas station right around the corner. Let's see if they'll accommodate you so you can get on your way. Ah, good morning, ma'am. Hey, Mario, how's it going? I'll take my usual cup of coffee.
Officer, it's on me today. Let me buy you a cup as a token of appreciation for keeping us safe.
Well, thank you, ma'am. That's very nice of you. I appreciate it. I'll kindly accept your offer. You know, Captain, it's getting colder out here, and the holidays are quickly approaching us.
Yeah, it's that time of year, my friend. You know the time we start responding to weird calls.
They say it's cupping season, baby. You ain't good enough.
True, true. I almost forgot, Captain Chaos. You're absolutely right. Cuffing season is now upon us. You guys be safe out there. That's coming from me, Sergeant Be Safe. And that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
And we are back. Shout out to Sergeant Be Safe out here making it happen, getting his fingers wet, helping out people, getting things done. Shout out to all the voiceovers as well. They don't get enough credit. Most of them don't want their names to be put out here on the podcast, so I respect that. However, I do appreciate them donating their time and their talents. So thank you to you guys. Back to the interview, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We are here with Tom Tsai, and we're talking about recruiting, and we're talking about last thing we discussed, which I thought was very interesting, was the process and putting the right pieces in place throughout the process of recruiting. You're getting that candidate as an interview, getting them through, making sure that they're not dealing with jerks, that they're not coming and saying, I don't want to be here because I see all these guys are old and bitter. Getting through the process as far as the background checks, the polygraph, and so many other different steps it takes in order to just be a candidate for the job. You don't want to lose them in the process just on personality issues, on errors like that. Are those some of the innovative strategies that you've come up with from trial and error that you've seen on candidates that you got through? And like, hey, have you done post interviews with them saying, what did you like? What didn't you like? What did you find a little odd? Or guys who backed out saying, no, I don't want to go through this process any further, or I got hired somewhere else. Did you find out? Yeah, it was maybe something simple as treatment that they've gotten throughout the way, or answers or questions that they had that they didn't feel that they got their answers answered properly.
Yeah. Here's, I'll tell you this, if I had $5 for every time an applicant told me this interview was way better than the one at whatever department, I'd be retired right now. It happens all the time because this is how it's done. This is how police recruiting and backgrounds were done. That's how it was when I came in. Again, I was fortunate to have a guy who was very jovial and joking and just kind of close knit. And I thought that was great. But there's a guy that I work with in my unit right now. When he got hired on, he had a horrible experience, and he felt like there was no way he was getting hired, and that he was a terrible person. And so it's just, you know, two different styles of doing things, you know. And that truly is the key, that relatability. Like, it's such a deep level, and people don't even really think about it, right? It's not like the applicants are going home and just dwelling over things, right? Until they have something different and they see, wow, wait a minute. I don't have to be treated like a jerk. I don't have to be yelled and screamed at. I remember when I came in 10 years ago with the PT testing, people would show up for tests and the instructors would yell, hey, get over here. You're late. Get in here. Run up to the thing. Check in. All right, everybody run over here and do it. And after a few years, my partner Michelle and I, we just kind of, we're like, why are we doing this? This seems silly, right? And I get it. Like, the reasoning behind it is oh, we got to get them ready for the stress now. Look, they got a whole academy to get ready for the stress now. They don't need it during the hiring process, right?
Right.
We'll get them ready at the academy, right? That's what the academy's for. And if the academy's not doing that, then we got a bigger problem than what we think, right? So we don't need to treat people like that. So yeah, we did. We changed the way we did it. We're encouraging when people show up, like we always joke around with them. Like one of the things I do every single testing, we offer free water, right? For when they're running around the track and doing things. So somebody will undoubtedly every single testing process, somebody comes up and goes, hey, is there, you know, can I get water? Yeah, yeah, right over there in the cooler. And then they come back and I'm like, hey, $2 a bottle. And they're like, what? And then we all start laughing. And right. So it's just that, just being, again, being that normal person, like you're talking yeah. to a friend, like you're talking to a buddy. And the other part of this is, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. The other part of this is the people that you don't know who's going to make it through, right? You have no idea. The recruiting is 100% guesswork. I can tell you that with absolute certainty. It's guesswork. You have no idea who's going to make it, who's going to be a good cop. And that's the thing that everybody always talks about. I know who's going to be a good cop. I can spot a good applicant. No, you can't. Nobody knows, because only one person knows what's inside that person, and that's them, not you, right? So that's first off. But you never know who it is who's going to make it. But here is another critical area that agencies are missing the boat. Because we treat people right, even if we have to disqualify them, I've had to call people and tell them, I'm sorry, you're permanently disqualified. You're never going to be a police officer again. I've had to make that call thousands of times, right? But we conduct ourselves in such a way that that person at the end of it, even though we've disqualified them, and this has happened multiple times over the 10 years, we've gone on to hire plenty of people, they will refer somebody to our agency because of the way they were treated.
Wow.
It's a people business, and we forget about that, and we get caught up in the, you know, it's got to be, you know, this regimented, serious thing, and it's a people business. You have to you have to treat people right. So yeah, that's one of the things that we've done. Some of the other strategies that we've implemented, we streamlined our application process, so it's just in one place, one quick application. You get through it. You can even do it on your phone. I still recommend getting on a computer because there's a lot of info that you have to do. But if you wanted to, you could do it on your phone. We have gone to a all-in-one day testing, which has been a huge help. And if you're not doing it, you have to do it. You have to at least consider doing it. So think about traditional police testing. You're going to show up and take the physical fitness test. You're going to, or the written test, how we used to do it is you show up, you do the written test. You show up, then if you pass that, then get scheduled for the physical fitness test. And then if you pass that, you come in for an oral board. And then if you pass that, then we'll go through a screening process. We've eliminated that whole thing. It's all in one day testing. So right now you show up, do your physical fitness test in the morning, that afternoon you're in an oral board and a written essay, right? So we completely streamlined our process. So this is where people will argue, oh, you're lowering your standards and you're doing this and you're doing that. You're not, right? Hiring standards, hiring preferences is a conversation for probably a little bit later, but so we have now not had a written test since COVID started. So what was
that? Okay.
2020-ish, somewhere in there. So 3 years, excuse me. There has been no decline in, or no rise, I should say, in academic failures in the academy at our department. I can only speak for what I do, but there is no rise at all from eliminating that. So what we do is we have our physical fitness test, then we have them come back for the oral board, and then we have them do a written essay. And it's just a basic, why do you want to be a Glendale police officer? You have 30 minutes to write a couple of paragraphs. And we're not looking for Pulitzer Prize winning stuff or the next Bill Shakespeare or anything like that. We want to make sure that you could put sentences together and formulate your thoughts, because that's what do we do as cops, right? We write reports. So we got to make sure that you have a base to work within the academy. So we're finding that written essay is far outperforming any benefits or not benefits of a written test. The thing that you have to consider too, especially in this day and age where things are tight, money's tough and times are hard, it's, I think we forget this too, as cops, because it's as, especially as, you know, we get older, it's pretty easy for us to get a day off. I can take a day off. I've been off for 2 weeks. I'm on a holiday break. I'm going back January 3rd, right?
Yeah.
Pretty simple to take time off. Well, I think we forget about being a 22-year-old who works at the grocery store and how hard it is to get a day off. So let alone 3 days off to come and do the portions of the testing. So by streamlining things and having it just in that one day, that's really helped with our numbers and being able to get people to actually show up. There's a massive difference between getting applications and getting people to show up.
Yeah, I remember it took me back. So when I was applying everywhere, different states, different counties, different departments, and some testing days will fall on the same day. And I forget if it was the written test or the physical fitness. I believe want to say the physical fitness test was normally first. That way they can wean out whoever didn't pass, and you didn't come back for the written. So normally if it might a Saturday, you'd take the physical fitness test, then a Sunday you'd have to come back for the written test, or maybe the next Saturday, depending on how it was. And then so many times I remember I'd be double booked. I couldn't make one. I made the other, or vice versa, or what have you. And like you said, I'm a young kid, a young adult, 21, 22, maybe 23. The weekends were when I had to work. I didn't work Monday through Friday. I was working, I had to work the shifts that no one wanted because I was bottom man. So getting days off, I would use vacation time, use sick time. I'd have to rob Peter to pay Paul. I'd take an extended lunch break, and hopefully someone would cover me so I could go 2 hours here and come back here. And just trying to navigate so many different things was difficult, just to get a job, or just to go through the entire process and hope that you can finish the entire process, because you start the physical fitness test here. Then the next week after you pass, you have the written test where you're supposed to go back. And then you have to drive another hour away for another physical fitness test, and hoping that you get done in time, and trying to navigate a day. It's a strenuous process. It was a strenuous process.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Right. And that's just the initial testing. Then you've got a background interview, a polygraph, a medical. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of time off. And again, anything that you can do to streamline that is going to be good, especially in the early stages of getting somebody in the door. Be able to just, hey, yeah, just show up one day. We'll get you done. Awesome.
Absolutely. I remember another thing that you said that resonated with me, and I just remembered it as well. When I was already a police officer, I was with a smaller department. I was applying for a different police department, in which I later got the job. But I remember one of the detectives came by. I knew he was coming by on a certain day between this time and this time. I didn't know exactly when it was going to be, but they just pop up. And I'm already ready. I'm dressed in a suit at my house. You know, everything's immaculate. I'm sitting there waiting, pretending like this is how we live, and this is we're studious, and I'm ready for the job. And he walks in, and I'm thinking we're going to jump right down to business. I've got everything, the itinerary, what I think he's going to ask. I'm prepared for the at-home interview. And before he does that, I'm showing my age, but he said, "Is that a Wii in the corner?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "You have lightsabers for the Wii." I'm like, "Yeah, at a Star Wars game." And so me and my son, who was very young at the time, we would have lightsaber battles with our Wii. And it was tucked away in the corner by the entertainment system. And he's like, wow, he was talking about Jedis and Siths. And we connected, because I didn't know he was telling me all this Star Wars stuff. So he said, "Can you turn the game on, please?" And we turned the game on, showed him how the lightsabers worked, showed him how it made noises, how it vibrated in your hand. And you had the whole lightsaber battle, basically, the noise that was going on. And we bonded just on that 10, 15 minutes before anything started, just on the simple fact that he was personable, he was human, he was laughing. He got me to break down the walls that I had built up, because I was trying to put on this facade where I was in there, I was comfortable, and we had a wonderful conversation. And I think the conversation that I had with him, we worked together for a few years up until he retired, but I saw him as a person first before I saw him as a police officer or detective.
That's the key. That's beautiful. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, you will never forget that person your entire life. You'll never forget that experience that you had, right? That's connecting with people. That's building a relationship with people. That's getting them to be invested. So another part of this, where I see a lot is like agencies have turned to some places who will get you applications, right? Mm-hmm. You sign up with us, you pay us a monthly fee. We'll use our proprietary software and get you so many applications, you're not even going to believe it, right?
Right.
And again, I don't want anybody to mistake what I'm saying. I'm not saying these are unscrupulous people. That's not the case, right? It works. They'll get you applications. But what they're not doing is exactly what you just described. They're not meeting you where you're at, in this case, your home, building a relationship with you. Hey, I'm in the Star Wars too, and let's do this, and blah, 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 right? And then showing them why people like you work there, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's the key to being able to fill your vacancies now, tomorrow, and into the future, right? So if you're just going for applications, right, I can have 50 of my friends apply right now. That's not going to help you, right? Because you got to, A, get them to show up. You got to, B, want them to work for you. And C, once they get there, you'd like them for them to stay, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm just, a lot of these places, they just go and they just, what they've done is they know how to use social media to advertise on job boards, and they'll hit law enforcement detention job boards with, you know, correctional officers or military people, your typical, farm system for law enforcement, right?
Yeah.
They'll get in there, and they'll plaster your ad all over the place, and they'll get you a bunch of applications, right? So some people will show up, some people won't, some people will stay for a little bit. Heck, you might have somebody who comes in and stays 20 years, but chances are there's no investment. Right. There's no investment in your agency. Right. And remember what I talked about earlier about encouraging people to be in as many processes as they can. Right. And I truly tell every single person that and during the background interview, I tell them, if at any point you decide this isn't the place for you, just let me know. I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to shake your hand and tell you made the best decision of your life. And I'm deadly serious when I say that, because if somebody doesn't want to work for my police department, there's nothing I can do about that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you all this, and I'll give you this hiring bonus and this benefit. That's going to keep them happy for a little while, but not long term. I'm interested in solving this problem long term. I want people who are just like me. When I came here and I had such a great experience, and I'm like, yes, freaking Glendale, man, that's the place for me. That's what I'm looking for in my applicants and who I'm trying to recruit. And it works. We've lost very few people over this whole thing. It is pretty rare for us to lose an officer to another agency, unless somebody moves out of state or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a rash. And when I say rash, I mean like five or six of guys who went to like FBI and DEA and that kind of stuff. And that was their goal. They wanted to use this as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. We knew that going in. And you know what? A lot of agencies are like, oh, we don't want to waste our time with that. No. Yeah. Come on in. We'd love to build up your career, because guess what? Now people who know I want to go to the DEA or the FBI and I got to put some time in, I'm going to Glendale. I'm going to work there 5 years, get my experience. They're going to give me a dang good 5 years while they're here.
Yeah.
They got bigger goals. That solves my problem, right?
Yeah.
So there's many different things that you got to think about as you're going through these things, and all the things that a lot of agencies are just like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want this. I'm waiting for the perfect person. It doesn't exist. Those are gone. Those days are over.
Interesting point. There you go. And your website scrolling below, correct? If anyone wanted to get in contact with you directly or pick your brain or wanted to reach out for any kind of information, would that be the best option to get a hold of you?
Yeah, we have a contact us page right there on our website. It happens all the time. People send me messages through through LinkedIn and through Instagram. And I talk to departments all the time. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking with some guys in Indiana. We ended up spending 2.5 hours on a Zoom call. They just had a ton of questions. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help. I care deeply about this profession, deeply about it. I'm very passionate about it. And I know some of the things that I'm saying, not everybody's going to agree with. And that's okay. And the reason that's okay is you're just not there yet. Eventually, you're going to get there because this is the future. This is how it is. And that's okay that you're not here yet. Follow me. Take the information. Learn. I put out a ton of free information every single week through my posts, through my newsletters, through my videos, on my YouTube channel, all over the place. On my website, has tons of information, and it's all there for free because, again, I want you to do well. I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. I'm bringing positivity. A lot of times, you know, you get into these law enforcement groups and it's just negative, 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 complain, 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 complain. We got enough of that, right?
Yeah.
We got to change things. We got to believe. That's another, you know, tenet of my philosophy and my business is you have to be positive. You have to believe you can fill your vacancies because whether you feel that you can or you can't, you're right. So you might as well try to go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, good philosophy. Good information again there. Let me ask you on the opposite end of the coin, and maybe this was brought up, I don't know, in Zoom call or maybe with someone else, or just guys that you talk to regularly that just may want to pick your brain. We saw in 2020 a lot of the quiet quitting or the guys that are retired on duty. They're hanging on because they see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they're hanging on. If they come to you, or you see it happening, what kind of advice would you give for those officers or those individuals at different departments that are just hanging on by dear life that don't know if they don't know their why on why they still got in, or they may be bitter, burnt out, whatever it may be. What kind of advice would you share with them?
That's an excellent question, and here is my thoughts on this precisely. And I've had this conversation with people in my own department. You have to remember, right? Despite everything, despite everybody saying this and it's bad and all this and this, right? You have to remember how good at this profession has been, right? Now, Cleet, I don't know you. We haven't really met or talked in person till today, right? But right. Well, just by, you know, our brief conversation, this job has given you a lot, right? It's given you everything that you've had, right? So that's what you have to remember, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this stinks or that's terrible. And this chief comes in and is messing up my whole life and whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, coming up on 20 years in this profession, I have absolutely zero complaints. And this is the mindset that I would encourage to answer your question. This is the mindset I would encourage you to adopt, right? I have no complaints. Have there been things over those 20 years that have happened I don't like? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better believe there have. Have there been people that I've worked with who I didn't really care for? Yeah, you better believe there have been. Yeah. But when I look back at a whole, I have no complaints. This job, this city, this department has given me every single thing that I have. I have a good life with a good salary, great benefits, a retirement. I raised two kids who are now adults and functioning well on their own. My wife has been a stay-at-home mom that entire time. Because of what this job has given me. I've been able to help people, like I was telling you about in sex crimes, and connect with people on such an incredibly real level. And if you're not doing that in your job and you're not connecting with people, you're really missing out on what is the gas of life that gives you that energy. We've all had it. And look, this isn't just automatic. I've been doing this for 20 years, right? There was times where I've been miserable and grumpy and griping and around the job, right? But we're here to help people, regardless if they like us or not. I don't care. Regardless of what the media says, I don't care. Regardless of what the council says, I don't care. I'm in a great position. Maybe I'm just fortunate that way because we are supported. Our city supports us. Our council supports us. Our staff supports us. Mm-hmm. Our citizens generally like us. You know, obviously you can't make everybody happy, but for the most part, right? But it's, with that being said, it's a mindset. That's the advice that I give you. If you're out there and you're struggling and you're like, I just don't know if I can do this, rediscover yourself, refine yourself. It's a choice. Every single day, you have a choice. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be miserable. The choice is yours, regardless of what's going around you, regardless of what's happening. Somebody makes a comment, you could be mad about it, or you can go, yeah, I don't care. My life's still going on, either way, right? You know how many times I've been called an a-hole or whatever, right? But here I am, 51 years old, still ticking, right? It doesn't matter. So it's a mindset. And that's what I would encourage people to do, is to change your mindset. And it happens so fast. It doesn't take this long process of okay, I got to work on myself. No, it's like that. I'm not going to be miserable anymore. It's really that fast when you put your mind to it.
Good point, man. I like sharing that positivity, shifting of the mindset. It's very beneficial, and it works so much. Yeah. Just being in the middle of calls, I remember, especially being a newer officer, overwhelmed. And I remember one of my sergeants at the time. You try and play it off like you're good and you're absorbing so much, and like, I got this, I can handle it, I know what I'm doing. Hey, you guys get back over there. Sergeant comes over, you know what? Combat breathing. Take a deep breath, and then, you know, hold it out through your mouth. Do that 4 seconds, reset yourself, bam, bam. And like, no matter what, we got this.
Right.
This isn't going to be the end of the world. And just hearing, you know, the whole gravity of that, it's grandiose at the time. Like, wow, oh my God, this is all happening. Like, no matter what, we got this. And kind of centers you a little bit, like, yeah, we can get through this.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you have that moment of clarity, like, I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You go 0 to 60, boom, and you're oh my goodness, and this is bad, and everything's right. And then you just have to realize, wait a minute, this is not at all what's happening. This is all it's all happening up here. That's the only place where most things are happening, is up there in your noggin and that million-year-old software that we're all operating on. So,
yep. Hey Tom, hang on for a second, because Sergeant B. Safe is showing his head here. I guess it's time for a commercial interlude. So stand by, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Excuse me, madam. You're standing still in a no parking zone. If you don't get a move on that body, I'll be forced to give you a ticket.
Hey, it's Sergeant PC.
Danger! Danger!
Excuse me, ma'am. The sign says no parking.
I'm not parking. I'm just running into Dunkin' Buck to get my coffee.
You are parked. You're outside of your vehicle and you're illegally parked in a fire lane. Parking in a proper spot and taking a few extra steps is not going to make you late for work. Matter of fact, here comes the fire truck now and you're in the way. This is going to cause a problem. I may need to just have this vehicle towed so the fire department can get in here and deal with this emergency. If the sign says no parking, do as it says. Don't park there.
Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. It would be my fault if a tragedy happened. Thanks for not giving me a ticket, Sergeant Be Safe. Now I know for next time.
Well, just consider this your warning, and definitely let this be the last time. I'm Sergeant Be Safe, and it may seem minor, but it's very important. Make sure you park legally. And that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.
Subscribe now.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That was one of the earlier cartoons for Sergeant Be Safe, with the old intro and exit, but we still have fun doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we had a great interview with Tom Sabe. Wonderful information on recruiting, on finding applicants. Make sure you guys pick his brain. He's a lot of fun to talk to. As you see, he's very energetic. He's very positive. He's giving good points. Tom, through the course of the conversation, I may have forgot to ask a question, or it may have jogged your memory, and it may have sparked something in you that you wanted to share with us and didn't have the opportunity to. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us right now? The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. And I thought for a minute you were going to hit us with no parking on the dance floor, and I was going to give you that dance you promised, but during the video.
Let's do it.
So here's what I can tell you, right, is you have to recruit like it's 2024, because it's here. It is, right? the biggest secret, this is something that I get asked a lot. It's like, what's the secret? How do you guys hire all these people? What do you do? Like, what is the secret that we can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
The secret is this. You are not hiring cops.
Hmm.
You're hiring people, right? So whenever we think about recruiting strategies and videos that we're going to do and all this stuff. And like we talked about the slow-mo recruiting videos with the SWAT guy and all the tanks and the drone footage and all that kind of stuff, right? The machine guns and the smoke everywhere, right? And all that stuff's cool, right? But you know what's really cool? You want to know what's going to solve your problem is meeting people's needs. Mm-hmm. That's what people are interested in. Right? All that stuff comes later. So we all try to think about like, well, you know, this will look great with the SWAT team walking through there. And sorry, SWAT guys, no offense. I love you guys. You're definitely needed, but nobody cares about that right now. Right? They don't. And then they want to have their needs met. Right? That's what people want at their core. Right? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be happy here? Do people like me work here?
Hmm.
What are the benefits? You know, and this is where you have to start asking questions of your applicants. Like, what is it that brought them to you? Is it, I want to help my community. I want to be a role model to my little sister, little brother. I want a better salary. I want more benefits. I want a secure future for me and my family. These are all answers that I've obtained from actual applicants on the application. And how I've done that is actually quite simple. We made it a question on our application. Why do you want to work here? And that is a goldmine of information for your recruiting, right? That tells you exactly what people are looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you can turn that into a post on social media or a video where you're saying, be an influence in your community, be the role model that you never had, that kind of stuff, right? Whatever the thing is, right? If it's benefits, make a post about benefits. That's the true secret is you're recruiting people, not cops, not yet. Mm-hmm. They'll be cops. They'll get trained. They'll find all those interests of driving around on motorcycles and being on the SWAT team and being a canine. They'll develop all that. And that's not to say that people don't have those interests now, but that's not what, and the ones that do, it's like, I want to be a canine officer since my entire life. You don't have to recruit them. They're coming, right? You don't have to waste any time or effort. They're coming to you, right? But it's the other people who maybe thought about it or were like me or just said, no, go do something else. And now here I am and I'm back, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's meeting those needs. You got to know who your applicants are. And to do that also, you got to know who you are, right? Mm. You got to know what your department is, right? If you are the highway patrol, then you got to be the highway patrol. Yep, we're going to cruise the interstates. We're going to take accident reports. We're going to write tickets. We're going to do all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm completely generalizing here.
Right, I understand.
Don't be mad at me, troopers. Right? But you got to be who you are. So like for a lot of people you talk to, it's like, I don't want to write tickets. Well, why are you joining the highway patrol, right? So it doesn't make sense. So you have to be who you are and never try to conceal that, right? And if somebody's not right for you, that's okay. This is another part where people go wrong in agencies. And I talk to departments all the time about this, even ones in my area, and they're astonished by this fact. But the simple fact of the matter is you don't have competition.
Hmm.
Everybody always says we're in a competition and I would have got this applicant if it wasn't for Tom and Glendale, they would have came here. That has nothing to do with it. The applicants who came here because they wanted to come here, right? Hmm. So you really don't have any competition in law enforcement. And the reason that is there's only one of you. There's only one Glendale Police Department. There's only one department. I'm sorry, Clea, I don't know which department you work for, but there's only one of them in the entire world. There's only one of them, right? And you have to promote what makes you special. Again, police work is police work. We all do similar things, but everybody has different cultures, different ways of doing things, different things that make them them. And that's what you have to highlight and show people again. the thing I'll leave you on is those three core foundations to be able to win with recruiting. And I want you to win. That's what I'm going to tell you again, right? You have to meet people where they're at. And spoiler alert, they're on social media. That's exactly where they're at. You have to build a relationship with them and show them that people like them work for you. That's how you win in 2024 with recruiting.
Remember where you guys heard it first, man. This, you're going to take center stage on this information because I can see you're ahead of the game. You're, like you said, you're the expert. You got it figured out. And it's very simple steps, too. I mean, when you think about it, you're like, all right, we got to come up with the next big thing, the next big plan. And you broke it down. It's so simple to do. It's just, again, people being people. Just be relatable. Just, you know, be a person.
And that's none of this is rocket science, right? It's the basic stuff. And the other thing I'll say, I didn't get a chance, and this is very important too, is another massive staple of my philosophy in my business is I believe with all of my heart, and I know it to be true, nobody on earth can recruit and represent your agency better than you can. Nobody. It's important that you have those right resources in place of the people who are passionate about people and passionate about your department and want to see the future of your department be successful. There's not a company in the world that's going to come in and do for that for you. You have to do it. That's why you have to learn marketing. And that's why I'm trying to teach you marketing. And what I like to call it is police marketing. And this is another thing. And I don't know if you got time or whatever, but a lot of arguments have been going on lately about, no, we need more recruiting. No, we need marketing. No, marketing's terrible. You need recruiting, right? The concept that I'm talking about is what I've coined police marketing. And marketing is recruiting. Recruiting is marketing. And that's what you have to understand. There's not a difference. One is in person, one is online. That's the difference between the two. And you have to learn how to do it for yourself. That's how you're going to solve your crisis is you have to recruit like it's 2024 and put those right resources in place. Get online. I can't tell you how many times that I've seen people who are, oh, we can't find any applicants. There's nobody. And this is the first thing that happens on LinkedIn all the time. I'm sure you've seen it. Every single day, there's somebody posting, I can't find one single person to come work for this department. The first thing that I do, and I challenge you to start doing it too, because you'll laugh. The first thing I do is I go to Instagram, right? 99.99999% of the times, there's no Instagram account. Well, what is Instagram? Oh, I don't know. Only the most popular platform in the world for people 21 to 30 years old. Who might that sound like? Right? People who want to be cops or a cop each, right? So you're not even trying. If you're not on Instagram, you're not even trying. And you have to do this. You have to learn marketing. You have to learn police marketing and recruiting and have a dedicated person or persons, depending on the size of your agency, that are doing this and only this. And that is a big ask, I know. Again, I've had the discussions with staff. I know the budget constraints. I know the staffing issues. I get it. I understand all of that. But if you don't do this, your lights are going to get put out because you're not going to have people to work for you. It's just that simple.
Again, put it down. You make it sound so simple, and it makes perfect sense too. I know a lot of departments, I hear the complaints on staffing, on hours, on manpower. Again, and like you said, it's totally understandable because you need bodies out there to fill positions, and you need positions filled. But therefore, if you're not getting recruiting your next batch of police officers, first responders to come up and come through the ranks, eventually through attrition, you're going to dwindle out and you're not going to have anything to pull from anyway.
Right. You're going to look back and go, what happened? Where'd everybody go? Yeah. You need to have a plan. You need to have people and you have to commit to it. That's the biggest problem right now is getting that buy-in, that commitment. Okay, you know what? I'm going to try it. And I'm telling you right now, try it for 6 months. It's going to take longer than that, but try it for six months. I'm telling you, you're going to see results if you put those right resources in the right places.
Good point. Hey, Tom, I had a great conversation with you. Thank you for making yourself available and coming on here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, make sure you check out his website. Make sure you check him out on the various platforms. I found him on LinkedIn. That's where we connected and had conversations. If you want to pick his brain, if you need to talk to him, make sure you guys reach out to him. He's very personable. As you see, he's coming with energy, and he's a lot of fun to talk to and giving good points as well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Tom, thank you for making yourself available. I appreciate you coming on the platform and blessing this show.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And absolutely, if anybody has any questions, please reach out to me. I'm here to help you.
Absolutely. We'll definitely get that done. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Black and Blue. We wrapped up the year 2023 with Tom Tsai here talking about recruitment and so many the different aspects of it. We had a tremendous year. I enjoy being your host, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We're going to jump into 2024 and do more, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing that as well. Join us this next month of January. We have an all-star lineup coming through again, first responders or law enforcement officials on Black and Blue, where we go live weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we go live with a rookie season, a retiree, first responder, law enforcement officer, talking about their training experiences and their publications. So make sure you guys tag, like, and share, and tune in. We're still keeping the ball rolling. We appreciate you guys. You guys take care. 10-4, over and out. And don't go just yet, because Sergeant B. Safe has to say his goodbyes. But make sure you guys tune in. All right? Bye.
Hello, Sergeant B. Safe, Captain Chaos. I'm your new district attorney, Justin Case.
Hello, Justin Case. Nice to meet you.
Yes, it's a pleasure. I'm glad we're all on the same team.
Yes, locking up bad guys. Let's go inside the courthouse and see the judge. We have bad guys to put away.
You are absolutely right. Let's go inside and get to work.
All rise. I am the Honorable Judge Mint.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Attorneys, present your closing arguments.
I'm a defense attorney, Scott Free, and my guys didn't do it.
The proof has been laid out, Judge. Sergeant B. Safe and Captain Chaos caught these guys red-handed.
What you mean, red-handed?
Order in the court!
I find these three guilty on all counts.
Ooh.
Well, I'm out of here.
I'm innocent. I didn't sell crap.
What do you mean guilty? I don't hack.
Good work.
Yes, job well done, team. I just want to say good job to our brand new district attorney, Justin Case. And from me and Captain Chaos, that's your tip of the day to get you on your way.